Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor at Fraser Church, and we're so glad that you've joined us in this study of the book of Joshua. Our prayer is that this study equips you to live the victorious life that is offered in Christ. God bless.
This is day 58 of Joshua, volume 2, Living the Victorious Life. Today's title is Talk is Cheap. Frank Sonnenberg said, "Being all talk speaks volumes about you." 1 John 3:18 reads, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." Our text today is Joshua 24, verses 16 through 18. "Then the people answered, 'Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God.'" When Joshua challenged the people to choose who they were going to serve, the people responded with a bold claim of their commitment to serve God. In verse 16, they declared their faithfulness to God as if they were appalled that Joshua would suggest that they might do otherwise. Though they had forsaken God multiple times, here at this moment, they recognized that he had delivered them. They testified in verses 17 through 18 that God had brought them out of slavery and brought them into the promised land. Then they reiterated their future commitment by saying, "Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." In other words, they said, "Joshua, you stated your convictions to follow the Lord. We will make the same choice. Your God is also our God. We make the same promise to always choose to serve God. However, as the old saying goes, talk is cheap." In other words, anybody can promise that they will do something. There is no cost to lip service. No effort is required to say what you will do. The commitment comes in keeping your word. When it comes time to act upon what you said, only then will people see whether your commitment is real or not. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were perfect examples of people who did not live what they practiced. The Pharisees were great at play-acting religion. They looked the part and talked a big game, but their hearts were far from God. People throughout Christian history have made promises to God that they did not keep. The problem with most churches today is that they are filled with people who made a decision for Jesus, but they have never committed their lives to him. Nowhere does the Bible say we should make a decision for Jesus. However, Scripture does say that God wants us to become his disciples. In fact, the word Christian is found only 3 times in Scripture, but the word disciple is found 230 times in the Gospels alone. Jesus told his disciples to follow me at least 20 times in the 4 Gospels. Anyone can wear a label and tell people they love Jesus, but it requires sacrifice, commitment, and dedication to truly follow him. Actions do speak louder than words. Actions are what truly demonstrate a person's faith in God. When you become a doer of the word of God rather than a hearer only, you reveal that your beliefs have substance. That is the truth of James 1:22. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." If all you do is talk about what you are going to do, then you are misleading others and misrepresenting your own self. Jesus expressed the danger of cheap talk when his authority was questioned by the chief priest and elders. Christ gave them a parable about 2 sons. Matthew 21, 28 through 32 records Jesus' words. It reads, "What do you think? A man had 2 sons, And he went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." And he answered, "I will not." But afterward, he changed his mind and went. To the other, he said the same. And he answered, "I go, sir," but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him." The moral of Jesus' parable is that actions display your true beliefs. Jesus emphasized this truth by telling the religious leaders that they weren't getting into the kingdom of God, but that the tax collectors and prostitutes were. The religious leaders talked a good game, but the tax collectors and prostitutes experienced true conversion. The changed lives of these known sinners proved that they knew God. The bold claims of the nation of Israel found in Joshua 24:16-18 are extremely easy to profess, but their future actions would reveal their true level of dedication. As you turn the page from Joshua to Judges, it doesn't take long to see that their public promises didn't live up to their boastful claims. Questions. Why do people boldly profess a commitment to Christ with their lips that they never show with their lives? In what ways do you need to bring your own life more in line with what you profess to believe? How does the following scripture from James 2:14-17 demonstrate that talk is cheap? Why do you think James had such a great passion to tell people that faith without works is dead? It reads, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warm, and be filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Reread Joshua 24:16-18. What stands out to you about the leaders' statements about God? In what ways do you think their words were an attempt to talk themselves into a commitment to God that they didn't fully believe in their hearts? What does this say about the importance of a humble and contrite heart? Pray with me. Lord, thank you for saving us by grace through faith. And thank you also for your Holy Spirit and its fruits, so that we can have your works on display through us. We pray that we would be conduits of your grace, so that we can display all the ways you're at work in the world through our actions. In Christ's name, amen.